in the previous chapters, the Alter Rebbe explained the insignificance and non-existence of all of creation by showing how the Word of God, from which all of creation comes, is derived, the Word of God itself is so insignificant as to be non-existent. He compares it to human speech, and he says that in the human being, when a person speaks and says something, the word leaves him, detaches itself from him, and becomes a separate and independent entity. With God, however, this doesn't happen, because God's speech remains always within him, because les asar poniminei, there is no place devoid of him. So wherever the speech is, meaning to say, as low as the level of speech may be, but where, even in that lowest level, God is present there as he is everywhere else. Les asar poniminei, no condition exists without God. And therefore, even the lowest condition of speech exists within God, because God is everywhere. In that case, the Alter Rebbe asked, why do we call God's creative expressions, why do we call that speech, if it's not like human speech? And the Rebbe says, it's because of another aspect of speech, another property of speech, and that is that when a person speaks, he reveals that which he had in thought, and that which in thought is concealed. So speech does two things. Speech takes some energy of the human being from within him to outside of him, separated from him. Another thing that speech does, it makes the other person, the second person, aware of what is going on within the first person. So that it separates, it also reveals. So when we say that God created the world through speech, we don't mean that he created the world by separating himself from it. We mean that he created the world by revealing that which was concealed, that which was in potential beforehand. That's more like the human speech, while it is still contained within the soul, within the mind and heart, within the intellect and emotion, before the person thinks of it, before the person speaks it. Now in chapter 22, in Perek Chav Beis, the Tanya for the ninth day of Shvat, the Alter Rebbe will explain how, if it's true that the speech of God, the Word of God, is different from human speech, and it is similar only in this one aspect of revelation, why don't we find some other comparison, some other analogy to the human being, where the human being does only the expressing and not the separating? So why use speech that is inherently different from thought, in that thought remains connected to the person, speech becomes separated? So we say, no, we don't mean to compare it to that part of speech, we want to compare it to some other part of speech. Why not find something else to compare it to in the first place, whose function is and whose property is exclusively that of revelation? So the Alter Rebbe will say that actually, in the end, both parts of speech in the human being are being used in the analogy to God's creative powers. Perek Chav Beis. Rak sha'teiro dibro kiloshem bnei adam. Teiro speaks in the human language. In other words, Teiro speaks on our level. So that because, as he said before, to the created being, to the world that is being created, the word of God seems to have been separated from God and seems to have become an independent existence, because to us there is a concealment and there's a tzimtzum, so that we don't see the connection between creation and creator, and therefore we don't see the connection between the Word of God and God himself. And since the Torah speaks in our language, that's why the Torah refers to God's creative power as speech. V'nikra b'Torah diburei shel Malkin Baruch Hu b'shem dibur mamosh, and that's why the Word of God is described as speech. K'diburei shel Adam, comparing it to human speech, l'fi she'be'emes kachu, because the truth is that it is like human speech. In the coming down of the Word of God and the life from God, when it comes down to the lower worlds, with intense and great many contractions, minim minim shenim, with various and unusual kinds of contractions, lihibodes mehem bruyim rabim minim minim shenim, in order to create from them, from through these tzimtzumim, many creations, many creatures, and also various and different from each other. The kol kach gavru ve'otzmu ha-tzimtzumim ve'hester ponim ho'yenim, and these tzimtzumim and the concealment of God's face is so intense and so great, ad she'yuchlo l'hisavis u'l'hiboris gam dvorim t'meyim u'klipes v'sitra acha. Not only does this permit a world to come into existence, for creation to take place, but it also, when it becomes that intense, when the tzimtzumim are so many and so different, they actually allow for the existence of that which is unholy, that which is klipa, an opposite of holiness. That they too should be able to receive their energy, their life and their existence from the Word of God, from God's breath, the hester ponim, through the concealment of the face, the yezidas hamadreges, and the descent through the various levels of worlds. So that from this perspective, from the perspective of the unholy, the Word of God seems to be exactly like our word, like our speech. When we speak, our words become separated from us. We perceive God's word as being separated from him. And since Teda speaks in our language, it refers to God creating the world with speech. And God said, let there be, and so on. V'lochein. And because of this concealment, because we are separated from God, or because the klipa is separated from God to such a degree that it doesn't have any of the panim of God, it doesn't have any of the inwardness which panim implies of godliness, lochein nikra elikim achirim. That's why klipa is called other gods. Other gods doesn't mean something other than God. Rather, as Alter Rebbe explains, it means God from the back, not another God. Mipnei she'yinikosam v'chayusam einam v'bechinas ponim. Since their life and their nurturing, nourishment from God does not come from the face of God, elam v'bechinas achurayim d'gdusha. It comes from the hind part of holiness. Therefore, they are called Elikim Achidim. Achidim, which usually is translated to mean other, The Alter Rebbe explains that it means the back. Achuzayim. So it's Elikim Achirim. It is God from the back. Pirush Achuzayim. What does it mean, God's back? There is no body. There is no physical form. So what does it mean, the back of God? K'odom ha'nesem dover l'seinei. The example would be to a person who has to give something to his enemy. So he does it, he's doing it against his will. He doesn't want to give him, but for some reason he has to. So what does he do? He throws it to him over the shoulder. Over the shoulder. Because he wants to, he turns his face away from his enemy, because of his hatred for him. He doesn't want to look at him. And therefore, when he is forced to give him something, he gives it to him, but he does it over the shoulder, avoiding his face. So when we say that God creates klipa, he creates the unholy by avoiding the face, by turning away his face. Kach l'mayla b'chinas ponim hu pnimiyas haratzon ha'elyon. Turning away the face implies the true desire, the inner will, of wanting to give, and therefore giving b'sever ponim yafes, giving it with a pleasant countenance, face to face, whereas those things you don't want to give, that which is not your true inner will, it is not cheftzehu amiti, it is not God's true will. Asher chofetz Hashem lahashpia chayis, l'chol hakoriv elav mesitir dikdusha. God wants, his true will is to give life and existence to that which is close to him, that which is holy. Aval hasita achra v'hatuma, but the unholy, that which is impure, he tayavas Hashem ashesono. This is what God despises. Ve'enei mashpia lo chayis mepnimiyas harotzein v'cheftzeho amiti. And he doesn't give it life willingly and with desire. Asher chofetz bo chas v'sholem. As if this was something that he truly wanted. God forbid. Unholiness, God doesn't truly want. This is not his inner desire. This is not his personal want. Rather, he creates it, as the Rebbe will soon say, he creates it for the benefits that can be derived from it. But it itself, God has no desire for. And therefore, when he does create it, kiim keman d'shode basar katfe l'seine. It's like a person throwing a gift or throwing something to his enemy over the shoulder. Shalei b'tzeinei, without inner will. Zak, why then does he create them at all? L'hainish as harashoyim, to punish the wicked, v'litin schartei v'tzadikim, and to give a reward for the righteous. He creates evil in order that there should be reward and punishment, that those who sin should be punished, and those who do good should be rewarded. What does the reward come for? The reward is given the achfayim l'sitracha, because they subdue and overcome the unholy. For that, they are given a reward, because subduing the unholy brings godliness into the world. V'zeh nikra b'chinas achazayim d'rotzen elyon baruch. And this, that which God has to create in order to give tzaddikim a reward and to punish the wicked, that's called unwilling. That's called from the back. Like the person who has to go to work, but it's not that he really wants to go to work, it's that he wants to get paid in the end. The person who wants a house to live in order to have a house to live in, he's got to chop down some trees, make some lumber, make some bricks, schlep them over to the building site. So there's so many things that he has to do, all because of the one thing that he really wants. He really wants just to have a place to call his own. But in order to have this place to call his own, he has to get involved with bricks and with lumber and with schlepping and with building and so on. So all of those things that he does, obviously he's doing them because he wants to do it, but that's not the inner will. That's not the true will that is called chefetz. That is a secondary, an external will that makes the thing desirable only for some other gain, but not for itself. And when you want something for another reason and not for itself, then concerning the thing itself, you don't want it at all. And that is called the what God hates. That which is despicable to God, that which God hates. In fact, there are actually three levels. There is the holiness, which is what God truly wants. Then there is the neutral, that which God doesn't want for its own sake. He wants it for some other purpose, that it should be used for holiness. And then there are those things which God actually hates, doesn't want. A person may not have the strongest desire to chop trees and to make lumber and to schlep bricks, but he doesn't hate it either. It's not his enemy. It's a job that has to get done. But then there are those things that a person actually hates, the things that go against him, that are his enemy. So in creation also there are these three parts. God creates those things that are holy, because this he truly wants. This is his true desire. He creates other things so that they will eventually become holy. And then he creates things that he actually despises and dislikes. And the reason for that is so that he could punish the wicked and reward the righteous. Now we understand that rewarding the righteous comes as a result of overcoming the evil. If there were no evil and there was nothing to overcome, then there'd be no purpose, there'd be no room for reward. But why should God create evil in order to punish the Russia? If he hadn't created evil, there wouldn't be any Russia, there'd be nobody to punish. So the idea is that with God, all punishment is really elevation. So that the punishment of the Russia and the reward of the Tzaddikim is the two forms of Aveda, the Baal Tshuva and the Tzaddik. And the punishment merely indicates that even the Russia will eventually become good. So that Klipa serves a purpose in one of two ways. Either the person will do the sin and then do Tshuva, or take the punishment and thereby elevate the sparks that were in the sin, or giving reward to the tzaddik, meaning the godliness that is revealed, the godliness that is brought into the world through the tzaddik when he refuses to do the sin. So these are the two benefits to godliness that come from klipa. In the Hayyim Yom for the 9th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes, when my father concluded studying the entire Gemara for the third time, he said a maimer on the subject of the meaning of a hadron, of those prayers that are said at the conclusion of the study of the Gemara. During the year of mourning for his mother, my father concluded the entire Mishnah at the end of 11 months and had concluded studying the entire Gemara at the end of the year on the Yahrzeit.